means the tailgate, the fire is burning a little bit more. The excitement's starting to take that next step. Antonio Pierce wants big growth from week one to week two. Well, they better get it because they're going to need a lot of growth in Baltimore. Vince Sapiens at Vince Sapiens on X, at Clay Baker Radio on the X, and at Vinny Bonsignor. Vinny making a pit stop in Kansas as he is Baltimore bound for the weekend. So we're holding it down here, and joining us on a Friday the 13th, Super Bowl champion, Fusion Odyssey, Chris Thomas. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, my friend. How is it?
It's Friday the 13th. Clay just informed me. I had no idea until a few moments ago. So I can't lead off with anything other than what's the scariest thing that's happened to you of recency or notably?
Wow, that's a good question. Well, I'm getting older, so maybe that's the scariest thing. Because with that comes all sorts of things. You're like, what? That I didn't deal with that when I was 25.
Yeah, just getting out of the bed in the morning and how everything hurts when you walk out, heading over down the hallway. How does that feel? That's a scary moment, isn't it?
Yeah. Surprisingly, I feel okay. You know, thankfully, my bed's not too high off the ground. So I'm okay getting out of bed. But, yeah, just getting the creaks out and just everything, right? You get older and things start changing and breaking down. And so you got to just keep plugging away, man. But that's probably the scariest thing.
This is why Chris is the best. Yes. He paints us a picture like no one else can. Chris, let's dive deep into week two. I guess what are the non-negotiables? What needs to happen? The Raiders are the biggest underdog on the week two schedule. What do you need to see? What has to change?
Well, you know, I would say this, that I think there was a lot of encouraging things. There were a lot of encouraging things from last week. I mean, they held the Chargers to two first downs in the first half. They absolutely stuffed the run in the first half. They played great secondary defense in the first half. I really felt like, you know, other than the couple turnovers, that their offense was moving. The brutal part about their offense was not getting and converting the first downs, right? On third and one, I think it was third and one once, third and two maybe another time, or third and one another time, and then the fourth and one. Like, those are killers, right? Like, just momentum killers and everything else. So that was tough. Their defense, I thought, did great against the run until the second half. And I think Coach Pierce probably pointed it out that, you know, those are big moments, and you got to show up on those big moments because that was the difference in the game. Those big runs by Dobbins just were a killer. That was a game changer. So I would say that there is a lot that they could take from it. I thought Garner played well. The receivers made plays. I think everyone should be excited about the array of weapons that they have, right, which Garner used all of them. So I think that's really exciting. So I would say in week two, the biggest thing for me is they got to be able to run the ball better. They have to. And then their defense has to do against the run what it did this past week in the first half. Because if you saw Baltimore week one, their run was terrible, right? You got Derrick Henry. You can't create a hole for Derrick Henry. They couldn't protect Lamar Jackson very well. So I think they have to exploit that, right? Because Lamar can't get comfortable in the pocket. If he does, it's a death sentence for any defense. And I think offensively, they just need to be better in the run, and they need to be able to sustain drives. They got to convert the third and one. If they're going to go for it on fourth down, they got to convert the fourth down. Because they did well. They just, in those moments that you could probably look at six or seven, they just didn't execute both offensively and defensively. So a lot to take away that I think is encouraging, but I would say that those are the things that are most critical, I think, going into next week.
Former Super Bowl champion Chris Thomas here with us with Fusion Odyssey. DM Fusion Odyssey on social media and find out more about what Chris does on a day-to-day basis as a performance development mentor and life coach for student-athletes, amateurs, and pros. Fusion Odyssey on social media. Then for the offense, what adjustments would Chris Thomas make? Because against the Chargers, the box was tight. How do you lighten up the box against the Ravens? And what would this look like if you start spreading it out a little bit?
Well, you know, I think that what they have to do is maybe, you know, dink and dunk for a little bit to try to get everyone out of the box. Okay. And make them have to, you know, think about staying over the top of your wide receivers and then really think about how they're going to stop Bowers and Mayer, right? Because right, both those guys, again, I think they're going to be used all the time in every, you know, weekly scheme that they have. Those guys have the ability to literally have 6-7 catches a piece a game. And when those guys are doing that, it's brutal, right? You have to respect that. And it changes everything in terms of your ability to run. But, again, it comes down to their line. Their line needs to get push, right? Like, that's the biggest thing. You got to get push. And there were moments, right? Zamir on the fumble that he had, you know, that was a big hole. He found it. And then, unfortunately, you know, great play by Bosa. But, you know, that there were not that many of those, right? And so they need, in Madison, both those guys are running hard. So you know your running back's going to run hard. What we need you to get is push. If they can get that push and they can get 4.5 yards a carry, that changes everything, right? But that's probably not happening until, to me, they start dinking and dunking, picking them apart on the outside. I liked where they were going with that passing game early on in the game. I think if they keep that going, it opens up the run game. And it opens up, I think, a lot of, you know, versatility in terms of three tight end set, right, which I've never seen them do before. But, yeah, I think they have to really open up with a passing game. I think, ironically, they open up the run game. If they establish the run game and they don't, then, you know, they're going to become one-dimensional, and I think that's too predictable.
Chris, take us inside a locker room. You know, there's so much energy, so much anticipation for that week one game. And let's just face it, it was a letdown, right? You don't get the job done. You don't get the results you were looking for. Whether it's week one to week two or just moving on, what are the conversations that happen in those locker rooms to get mentally right? You know, I know that process probably already taken place, right, where it's Friday. That I'm sure that stuff happens Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But how difficult of a challenge is that, I guess, for a team, especially early on in a season where you're still waiting to kind of reap the rewards of all the good buildup you've created during whether training camp or preseason or whatever it may be?
Yeah, well, I think, again, here's what I would say. I think that despite the end result, that there was a lot you could take away that was positive. I really do. I think there's a lot of momentum potentially that you could create from what happened in week one. What they did in the first half defensively was phenomenal. Offensively, could they have scored more points? Yes. But that being said, their passing game is there. You can see it. Maybe their running game is on the cusp, but there's a lot you can take away. You know, they missed that 49-yard field goal, right? That could have been a momentum changer. So, you know, you can look at a few plays here and there, and, like, the end result is completely different. So I think that they got to be encouraged, and this is why it's important to not necessarily always focus on the end result, because if you do, you could become discouraged. You'd be like, here we go again, right? Can't get it done, not making the plays, but they're close, right? And I get it. They have a history of this, but, you know, they have a lot that they could take away that I think could absolutely allow them to have a great game week two against Baltimore because, you know, they're a bit wounded as well.
Right.
So, I mean, they didn't play great football across the board, and they still had a chance to win. So they're probably taking away some positives from that as well, right? They were a millimeter away from going into overtime potentially.
Well, sorry, Chris. When you're in the room, though, right, and I'm not talking the stuff that gets said to the media, are those the conversations? Is that what you're looking at when you're looking at the tape being like, man, we were right there? Is that where that positive reinforcement comes, or are they conversations – away from the film room and you're just out on the field saying, hey, we're good? Like, is that where the leaders truly come in to kind of, you know, say nothing's too high, nothing's too low?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, again, after a game like that, you're absolutely saying we're right there. I mean, look, it's right in front of us. We're right there. We put up 5, 6, 7, 8 plays. Like, we'll want to know, right? So, I think that conversation is really positive. And the leaders are like, hey, we got nothing to put our heads down about. Play great. We just got to play great for longer. Right, and we can't give up the big plays. Right, we gave up too many big plays, and we missed our own opportunities. But we're right there. There's no reason we couldn't be 1-0, and there's no reason we can't be 1-1. So I think absolutely, when you watch that kind of a film,
we could hear Chris's phone fade out, and I think we just lost him.
Right when we were getting to the good part.
Hey, Chris, we appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for coming on with us. What we do is we want to let you know that Chris is, as you can hear, this guy unlocks the mental game, and a lot of the clients that work with him, performance development mentor, life coach, go on to Fusion Odyssey. Check that out on social media. DM him, and you can get hooked up for your student athlete, son or daughter, amateurs and pros. He's amazing at what he does.
And I think what Chris was trying to get a point, the reason I asked the question is because we can look back at the film, right, and being like, look, you know, the Raiders were close. Right. But when it comes to the actual team, he was in those locker rooms. He was in those highs. He was in those lows. Yeah. He understands the conversations that happen, whether you're watching film or you walk out of the film room, how these guys are feeling. You know what I mean? Because what did Deion always say? Look good, feel good, or feel good, look good, look good, play good, all that stuff. You know, that matters. So that's why I was curious what those conversations are like. Does the repairing, right, of the mental side of the game happen during film as you're seeing the good and the positive and reinforcement? And I think that's what he was alluding to, is you look at this film and yeah, they didn't get the result, but there was a lot of good that kind of patches up, okay, gives me the confidence I need to get back out on the field, make those corrections, and get going.
And, you know, when he was working with the Rams in 1999, Mike Martz as the offensive coordinator, somebody that really understood trying to find those kind of matchups, and all it would take is like one good series that you could see where like the confidence would be back, because this is a team that believes in each other. Mm-hmm. And you know Antonio Pierce has everyone ready to play, but he brought up that number, 4.5 yards per carry for rushing. Can you get to that?
You have to.
You need to.
That's the question, but if you're asking, are the Raiders going to win, that is a must. Mm-hmm. That is a absolute must. And, man, I don't like what he said about Friday the 13th. Scariest thing is just getting older. I don't want to get older, Clay. I want to stay young.
I know, older, it is quite a shock, isn't it? When you start looking at it, you know, you're like, I got more hair coming out of my ears and nose and on the top of my head. Yeah, it's a shocker, man. It's Jason. It's Michael Myers. It's everything you never wanted to see. It's a nightmare right in the mirror.
And we are getting into scary season. October is right around the corner.
I know. I can't wait for the Halloween show.
Oh.
It's going to be dynamite. Hey, I tell you what. Let's do this. We're going to have the Antonio Pierce presser at 9:30. We'll go live to Raiders HQ. But before then, a little business called the Pro Pick'em Challenge. The Tailgate Pro Pick'em, brought to you by Paul Padilla. $200 is on the line. Jerome went 2-1 last week. You got to go 3-0. We're going to give you three games to choose from. You pick the straight up winners. No spreads, no totals, straight up winners. And we'll take caller 9 at 702-365-9200. This is for Nevada residents only, to win the money out of the tailgate coffers. 702-365-9200. Play the Pro Pick'em Contest. It's next on Raider Nation Radio. If you are ready after hearing Raider Head and Raider Man,
he would
give the Raider oath. Let's go. It's the Pro Pick'em, the Tailgate Pro Pick'em here on Raider Nation Radio, provided by Paul Padilla. And Vince and I have three games for you. All you got to do is go 3-0 on these games, and you walk away with $200. If there's no winners at 3-0, it rolls over to 300 next week. Mike from Las Vegas is waiting on the line. But let's go through our games. I'll start with mine. I can't wait to see what will happen between Bengals and Chiefs. And not unlike Mr. Bonsignor, I have a good feeling that the Bengals will have a turnaround, and I circled that one as a W for Cincy.
Wow!
Let's go!
Wow, right off the bat. Let the record show. 1-0 in this pick'em. One, Vince Sapienza. Me! This week, I'm going with the Detroit Lions. An emotional overtime victory over the Rams a week ago. Many would say, Vince, this is just the typical letdown game. They're still at home. They're taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are pissed from last year. Mm-hmm. They got swept by the Lions, including in the playoffs. I say, nah. Dan Campbell, biting kneecaps left and right. The Lions go 2-0 for the first time since 2017. Let's go.
Oh, I love this. All right. And the third game, I'm going for Colts and Packers. We talked to our good buddy Tim Murray from VSiN, and off the air, we kind of asked, like, NFL home field advantages, is that a thing of the past? And he looked through his numbers, and he brought up how Lambeau Field, other than against San Francisco, has a decided home field advantage still. For whatever reason,
The mystique.
I like the Packers over the Colts. 702-365-9200. Our picks don't matter. It's up to Mike in Las Vegas. Go 3-0, Mike. We'll start you off here, and you walk away with $200. Thank you for calling in. All right, here we go. We'll start you up. Who do you like between the Lions and the Bucks? Give us your straight-up winner.
I am going to go with Vinny and take
Let's
the Lions.
Let's go, Mike. Ooh, yeah, buddy. So much pressure. I'm going to be so nervous during that game.
I like it. Mike's off to a good start. Colts, Packers, who wins?
I'm going to say that the Colts come in and take away that home field advantage. Let's go, Colts.
All right. Bengals, Chiefs.
Clay, I'm going with you on this one as well, buddy. We're going to take the Bengals to take down this Super Bowl champions.
Mike Peters is already spending the money. He can smell it. Bengals, Colts, Lions. If he goes 3-0, he takes the $200 from Paul Padilla. Thank you, Mike, for playing, and good luck to you.
Thanks, guys.
Go, oh, baby, Mike. Not a baby.
Bang, bang.
Bang, bang is right, man. That was strong.
Bang, bang.
I mean... Yeah, I mean, he definitely put a little more flavor than last week's calls where we just got names, names, names. Mike, feeling it. I like it. Well,
Broncos,
done.
Packers, Steelers. That is good stuff. Hey, 702-365-9200 is the number. We were asking for bold predictions.
Yeah,
we
what's
got
that
some.
About?
We Hit got me. Some. We got some. Hot Sauce, 626 area code, Jack Jones, Hot to the sauce. Rescue. Hot Sauce says Jack seals the game with a pick six, fourth quarter. Go get him. Okay. 2014 Raiders. Wow, that's dynamite. And we also see Caesar from the 806, Raiders C from North Texas. Trey Tucker will have over 130 yards.
Wow. Now that's a bold prediction. And if that's happening, good things are happening for the Raiders because that means they're likely pushing the ball downfield. That means they are pushing the defense back, which means the running game is probably going at a good clip. A buck 30 for Trey. Be a career high. That'd be fantastic.
So he's not... That's not out of the realm of possibility, and he's not far away from that because he's going to be a big play receiver. He's somebody that people are going to fall asleep on him. He's going to find a way through, and trying to find him in the weeds, that's Minshew's identity right now. How can he go and find those open guys? Because somebody's going to be left open, and especially as you brought up, it wasn't all jumbo personnel last week. There were plays to be made.
There was only four plays out of the 60 where it was 13 personnel, so where there's three tight ends on the field. 15 out of the 60 where it was 12 personnel, two tight ends on the field. So, yeah, to that point, not a lot of jumbo. They did spread them out. Getsy talked about how Brock Bowers was essentially treated as a slot receiver every time he took to the field, so that's interesting. I know people probably listened and was like, well, Vince, what are you talking about when I said Trey Tucker had a great game, two catches for 22 yards on three targets? But to me, it was a great game because that's kind of within that range. Again, only 60 offensive plays last week, so that's a little low. You would think if that goes up, he's probably getting more closer to the five targets. So if you're around that five touches plus punt returns, and if he's making those kinds of yards and those kinds of plays that we saw in limited capacity week one,
okay,
I'm really excited about what Trey Tucker's ceiling could be. Again, it starts with pushing the defense back. How do you do that? The run game. How do you do that? You threaten deep a little bit. It's an exciting week. It's Friday. I'm so nervous for this Lions game now because Mike just went with me, and I felt convicted when I made the pick, but now he's on. Now he's riding the train.
He believed in you. He said your name personally. He was like, "Yes, I am. I will follow you."
He doesn't even believe in the Lions. He just believes in my conviction for it. So now, boy, all eyes are going to be on that game.
I know, and you're putting your money on the Lions. I mean, sometimes I have to, but you don't. You know, I mean, it's like you saw how last year how close that game was between the Lions and the Bucks and the wild card with Baker Mayfield storming back and clawing his way back. Good game.
Don't worry, Mike. I feel good. I feel good. I still feel good.
You know, we talked in the first hour about Keon Coleman, who likes to wear color-coded or color-coordinated mouthpieces two at a time based on the colors of the opponent he's going to play.
Yeah, weirdo. Absolute weirdo. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. We're trying to find some semblance of logic behind it. KV from the 203 says, you know what? I'm with Keon Coleman.
Oh.
First game, senior year, we played East Lyme, Pat Tillman's high school.
Okay.
And after every rep, and after every run, I screamed, "East Lyme!" on the finish. Psychological. So KV, wait, thank you for that.
He yelled the opponent?
Yes.
He yelled...
instead of having the color coordinated, he yelled the opponent's name.
But why? What did... So...
He says it's psychological.
For who?
For
him or like...
For him.
Like messing with the other team?
Well, I tell you what. Maybe it's more like, I'm thinking about you. You are on my mind and I'm going to scream your name.
Okay.
Just to offset you. To put you on the wrong foot.
So he's saying... You're living in my head, but I'm going to live in your head rent-free by confusing you and yelling your school's name.
Give you something to think about.
I'm thinking about it right now. The play's already over, and I'm still thinking about it. So,
you're losing 62 to nothing. I'd probably stop. But, you know.
Mission
it's not working. Fabian from Campbell says, he's the sheriff of Nottingham. Fabian Ooh. Says, when I was in high school and wearing braces... I had to wear two mouthpieces.
Really?
He had to protect the investment.
Wow. I mean, that makes sense.
Hey, orthodonture back then, that was no joke.
That makes sense. I'm just now in the process of children and teeth and those numbers. Yeah, so put foam, styrofoam, or do whatever you got to do. Bubble wrap, do what you got to do. That makes sense.
My son showed me his molar that came out during school, and he asked me, like, do you want this? You know, he's asking me, like, of course I want it. You want to get, you know, you want the tooth fairy to come. You want the payoff, right? And he gave me that look. He's like, yeah, man. Hey, molars, they're worth a little more than the other teeth.
Agreed.
Hey, baby molars are still molars.
They fetch a good penny.
Hey, especially if you're 13 and have no job. All right, Antonio Pierce is set to join the podium. Coming up next, we go live to Raiders HQ for Antonio Pierce, Raiders Radio Network.
Ooh, this is back to that Ocean's 11 feel.
Right. Yeah.
Just we're on a heist.
Thinking about a heist. Do we need one more?
Are we thinking or are we in the process of heisting? Is this the music of thinking or heisting? I think this is heisting. Anyways, this is the Tailgate. Raider Nation Radio. Vince Sapienza, Clay Baker, Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce, set to hit the mic for his final press conference of the week before the team leaves for Baltimore. Next week. Tomorrow. The team will be leaving tomorrow, getting there in the late afternoon. And then it is an early kickoff here in Las Vegas, 10 a.m. Pacific time, Eastern time zone. And Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce is at the mic.
Last year, you spent a lot of time with the offense. I knew you were acclimating to that part of the ball. I'm just curious, systemically, I'm just trying to learn your system. What do you... Are you balancing it this year, 50-50? Do you
stay with offense? Offense, yeah.
What have you learned about that you
enjoy? One, this is my first time ever being in the West Coast offense, so there's a lot of verbiage, a lot of communication. Just the concepts, the rhyme, the reason, played against it, you know, for a bunch of years, coached against it, but obviously first time dealing with it on a day-to-day basis. There's a lot of good stuff there, but like anything, right? I don't care if we're talking offense, defense. You got to put in reps. You got to put in time. You got to gel. You got to get the same group out there and constantly talking through it. And I think Luke is doing a good job of it, right? I thought, you know, even last week, regardless of the outcome, that game plan we had worked on for quite a bit of time. Now, execution didn't show up, and that's what we got to get better at.
How much do you think that the offense will take that step one week to the next since it's kind of working out the kinks still?
I think every coach in the NFL talks about week one, week two. You really want to see that jump. And I think for us, that's something we harped on all week, not just offensively, but the entire team, staff, coaching staff, myself as well, you know, just making that improvement from week to week.
You always talk about, you know, not trying to simplify things, not trying to overcoach your guys. With that being said, you know, how much emphasis do you put on, like, just making sure your best players get the ball no matter what the play is?
Yeah, player ran business. I've always said that. Said it the day I took over last year. I mean, we're good when our best players are playing really well, right? When Davante Adams, Jacoby, Big Mike, Brock, you know, Zamir, when our O-line is playing well, you know, and I can go on and on and on. But when those guys are making plays, typically it's a good day for the Raiders. And that's what's going to come down to this game, right? We're going against one of the better teams in the National Football League, reigning MVP. I mean, all hands on deck and our best players got to show up.
Is it too soon to expect Chaisson to potentially be elevated in play?
Who's this?
Chaisson.
We'll see. I mean, 2 days in here. He's looked good, though. He's looked good so far. Just getting used to our system scheme, making sure he's in shape, ready to go. Don't want to put somebody out there if they're not, you know, physically ready to do it or mentally.
AP, I'd like to talk to you about the mindset of your team. The offensive line this week, I mean, they use the word they're pissed, they're mad. Not at anyone, they're mad at themselves. As a coach, can you wish for anything more than guys that take the personal responsibility?
Yeah, I mean, because again, it always starts with those guys up front, right? When we're a good offense, running the ball, throwing the ball, it starts with the O-line, protection, everything of that nature. Their mentality sets the tone. Their energy, their presence sets the tone. I think that's really critical, and they understood. They saw it. I mean, it was glaring what the issues were last week. And you sit there and you watch it, and you walk out that game with a loss, and you're like, why? How did that happen? What was the reasons? And obviously we discussed that, and what did you like is when you have linemen that do have a little chip on their shoulder, right, have a little bit more fire in their belly. So I'm not going to talk about it, though. We got to go do it on Sunday.
Along those lines, have you liked, I guess, the attitude of the team of wanting to get back out there, of the response that they had to the loss?
Yeah, I mean, bounce back, 24-hour rule, legit. Like, came in here on Wednesday, and to be honest, I know it's coaches talk, but by far best Wednesday since I've taken over. And this year, way better than it was the week before. It was physical. Guys got after it. We had to come indoors because of the smoke. But it was a lot of energy, the effort, the finish, the physicality, everything we want in a padded practice.
It's kind of a broader question. I don't know if you watched the game last night, but saw Tua suffered another concussion. When you have players, and I know every player is different, but when somebody has a history of concussions, do you handle that any differently as a head coach?
I'll be honest, I'll just tell them to retire. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Play the game. I haven't witnessed anything like I've seen that's happened to him three times. Scary. You can see right away the players' faces on the field. You can see the sense of urgency from everybody to get Tua help. I just think at some point, you know, he's going to live longer and he's going to play football. Take care of your family.
AP, obviously you haven't played Lamar, but you played Michael. And as that Mike backer, how important is it Sunday for gap integrity with your defensive line?
Yeah, we got to remind him each and every play. It's going to come from the headset from PG, myself on the sideline, and then Robert Spillane has to do a really good job each and every play emphasizing what we need to do, gap integrity, scheme-wise, our concepts. It's going to change. You can't give them the same picture every time, obviously. But just very cliche, you got to do your job, man. Like, this ain't a game where you run around a quarterback 10, 15 yards up the field. That's going to be bad ball. And we've talked about it. We talked about cage rushing, talked about gap integrity, pushing the pocket. I mean, there's a lot of success with Lamar at times when you do it the right way. Now, you're dealing with an elite athlete, and he's going to make plays, and we got to understand that. And we got to move on, right? He's going to bust a run. He's done it every game of his career. But we can't let them break our backs doing it throughout the game.
Coach, your defensive backfield had a good game last week, held Herbert to under 150 passing yards. How impressed were you with them, and what do you expect from them on Sunday?
No, that was good. I mean, if you'd have told me you lost a game and he threw for under 150, I would have told you you're lying. But what I love to see, honestly, was one of the first 10 plays, I think, in the game with, you know, JB, you know, with Bennett out there on the sideline, hell of a job playing the ball. I think that was a big confidence booster for him. We saw that in training camp, but to see it in the game, live action, you know, kind of early on, it was really good. And you can see the energy and excitement from our secondary. But that group has been pretty steady and solid, right? We obviously, there were some plays in the secondary from our safeties we wish we could have back. But, you know, that group throughout this offseason and training camp preseason has been pretty consistent. But it's going to be another big challenge, right? It's week to week. I mean, you got two guys here that really run down the field. The vertical threat is real this week. And then us tackling the space, right? Like I just said, Lamar's going to get out there. He's gonna make a play or two. We got to get him on the ground.
Ja'Cory Bennett having that, you know, training camp and preseason looking really good. How much of a chip on his shoulder is he playing with right now?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. He started the season off as a starter and didn't quite end that well for him. And you saw a lot change in just his mental makeup. I think, you know, as a rookie, you think you can go in there and you can strap up everybody, right? And nobody's ever going to catch the ball on you. And that didn't quite happen for him. But what I saw is somebody each and every day work on ball drills, footwork, technique, have a short-term memory to play that position. They're going to catch the ball on you. Stop acting like you're not going to give up any catches. And I think for him as a young player, having a great offseason, and then again, like I said, that first play when he was challenged, stepping up, that's huge for his confidence going forward.
Coach, have you had any update with Jackson Powers Johnson or with, Tyree Wilson as well? I know he hasn't really practiced at all this week.
Yeah, Tyree will be out, and Jackson will be a game-time decision.
People that are old enough like me to remember you playing, Amari Gaynor reminds a lot of people, not the same game as you, but a lot of similarities, work ethic, UDFA. What does he have to do to play? I know he's got guys ahead of him, but to earn playing time.
Ooh, playing linebacker, I mean, we got two good linebackers. And to take 41 and 5 off the field, I don't see that happening anytime soon. But I think it's really just finding a role for him, right? I think first and foremost, he's a special teams player now for us. He's a four-core guy. Making an impact there is really important. That's going to help change the field for us. And I think as the season goes on, you'll see it. I mean, there's moments where, you know, upstairs we're like, okay, we can do this with him. But at the same time, I always worry about throwing a rookie in the fire too soon. And I think he needs to just get his feet underneath him, get grounded, get comfortable, make some plays on special teams, and then you'll see that translate on defense.
The topic of rookie linebacker Tommy Eichenberg, he's been a full participant in practice so far. Can you just talk about, you know, getting him back on the field and what his role could potentially turn into?
Yeah, excited about him. He'll be up this week. We'll be rolling with Tommy, four-core special teams guy. Again, just like I said, get his feet wet on special teams, let him go out there and make plays. Hasn't played football in about a month now, right? So we need to get out there and, you know, get his legs underneath him and get used to contact. And no better way to do it than on special teams.
You mentioned Gardner Minshew. Sometimes when the play's there, you got to just go make the play. And there was a couple that looked like he could have taken some shots. Has that been an emphasis this week of, if it's there, take it, let it rip?
When you say shots, you're talking about vertical or?
Or, yeah, just you know, there's a deeper shot, like 15, 20 yards.
Listen, I'm all about it. We got Trey Tucker. I mean, we took one shot last week. Devontae wasn't good enough. Ball's out of bounds. But you saw in the preseason, that's what we wanted to look like. And that needs to show up Saturday or Sunday.
You've addressed the fourth down decision several times this week, but just going forward, are you comfortable with where the communication is in terms of everybody being on the same page and discussing those kind of things in a quick, you know, quick manner and making the decision on the field?
Yeah, we do that. We do that all the time. Yeah.
Very good. All right. Thanks, coach.
Head coach Antonio Pierce live from Raiders HQ has a weekly Friday presser. It's complete.
Definitely went longer than I thought it was going to go. I would have not been cashing my ticket for the under.
And over on a Friday morning. And a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff came out of that. Obviously, okay, Tyree Wilson's out. JPJ will be a game time decision.
Interesting.
Okay.
It's interesting. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, he was kind of asked about, you know, wanting to get those guys out there, specifically Jackson Powers Johnson, but they also understand the reps haven't been there because of his injury during the offseason training camp. You know, you have to be careful with these rookies, things like that. So you can tell inside he's like, he wants them to play. You know, Jackson Powers Johnson is probably banging on the table saying, I'm good. Let's go. Get me out there. So I would imagine that they'll take that with gloves and be conservative in the approach. But if he's good to go, he's good to go. Tommy Eichenberg, he's going to be up. Core four special teamer, so he's going to see a lot of action Sunday against the Ravens.
He was very happy with Wednesday's practice, how physical it got.
Yeah.
It didn't have the energy that it did last Wednesday, and he had like a smile on his face as he was talking about how happy he was to see that kind of response, that 24-hour rule was in effect.
He said, by far the best Wednesday he's ever seen here. Now, and then he prefaced it by saying, he goes, look, I know this is going to sound like coach speak, and we say it all the time, but this is true. The best Wednesday that they've ever had since he's been there. And they got everything they wanted out of that padded practice. You normally don't hear a coach say that last part. We got everything we wanted out of a padded practice. Normally, you know, practices aren't long enough for these coaches. They always want a little bit more. They always want one more rep. Again, these are all words. Let's see what it looks like on Sunday. But everything you're hearing out of Antonio Pierce, it's got to get you feeling some kind of way ahead of Sunday. As the biggest dog on the week two slate, you got to be feeling some kind of way. The other big takeaway, I think that we both kind of reacted to it as he was saying it.
Yeah, I got the audio.
He was asked about Tua Tagovailoa. Obviously, Thursday night, he has a rough game, and then it becomes a rough game and turns to a bad night and a questionable what's next for Tua, who gets another concussion. And Antonio Pierce was asked about Tua Tagovailoa and what he would say if he was dealt with a similar situation here with the Raiders.
I'll be honest. I'll just tell him to retire. It's not worth it. It's not worth to play the game. I haven't witnessed anything like I've seen that's happened to him three times. Scary. You can see right away the players' faces on the field. You can see the sense of urgency from everybody to get Tua help. I just think at some point, you know, he's going to live longer and he's going to play football. Take care of your family.
What an answer. That's the best response I've heard since that injury happened.
Stark cold truth, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just a cold truth. Just, man, that's tough. And because, you know, as we're sitting here and been on for, you know, a couple hours now, and all the shows, that's what everybody's talking about. That's what everybody is talking about. What is the future? What is the future? Mike McDaniel met with the media this morning in Miami and basically said, you know, let's not talk about his future because that's not helpful to Tua at this particular moment. Okay. Let's let things happen. But again, from on the outside perspective, that is not in Miami and all that stuff. To hear a former player, a guy who loves the game, and Antonio Pierce, not mince words, not hesitate. That's it's tough stuff.
Hey, on Raider Nation Radio.
I want to sit down.
The Morning Tailgate.
We have a new Paisan. Oh.
Vince Sapienza.
That's right, we do. Hey!
Vinny Bonsignor.
It's a stereotype, and it's offensive.
Clay Baker.
I'm German-Irish.
Oh! Oh!
Oh! Back up.
On Raider Nation Radio.
I want to sit down.
The final sit down on a Friday. So much finality to that one. Final sit down on a Friday. You know, it's Friday the 13th, and I haven't stopped thinking about it since you told me. Because we opened the windows for the first time this morning. It was cool.
Oh,
there was
good.
A breeze. There was no smoke in the air.
The dogs were happy.
Murphy was very happy.
Yeah, all right, good.
He always sleeps good in the cooler weather. But Friday the 13th, scary season.
You got to throw the salt over the shoulder, man.
It's time for the movies. Some horror flicks. That's the best.
I know, and it's great that they revived Friday the 13th. It's out in theaters today.
There's so many versions. So many versions. I'm one of those guys that I'm okay with doing different versions. Friday the 13th or Halloween or whatever. As long as it makes sense in the world in which it was started. Like, we need some order. Some chronological lineage. You can't just... Okay, I don't want to get on that tangent.
But it's a thing. Like, stay in that universe.
Yeah, like, stay in that universe. Marvel people get very upset with the Marvel universe and different movies and things like that. I don't really care about that. I love those movies. I don't care about if they mess with it or not. I do care about horror flicks. Halloween, Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm.
You got Halloween, you got Friday the 13th. We talked about Chucky earlier this week.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
And Nightmare, Freddy.
So, need those just to make sense. Make it make sense, Clay.
I try. But here's the thing. I just want to have the gore. I want to have blood spilling.
Obviously.
And I just want to have I don't want like the shocking, you know, quick scare thing. I want to lead up to terror. That's what I need because I know what I'm there for. I want to see Kevin Bacon get a pitchfork in the neck. You know what I mean? That's what I want. Hey, follow us online at lvsportsnetwork.com. Get our free app. It's up at the App Store and Google Play. You can stream every day clear on your iPhone or Android. LV Sports Network. Get the app now. For Vince Sapienza, for Vinny Bonsignor, I'm Clay Baker. Have a great day, everybody. Rich Eisen's next. And a full day of Raider Nation Radio with JT the Brick at noon and Q Myers at 2. Let's go.
You know, a lot of lawyers who advertise here